You know, there's just something about walking up to a vending machine back when you had 35 cents in your pocket. Because back in the day, 35 cents would get you a long way. You'd stare at the vending machine, look at it, all of your options, strategizing which would be the wisest choice to get the optimal enjoyment. Take a quarter and a dime or whatever it was, put it in the little slot and then press the button. And how many of you know about the metal spiral? Anybody know what I'm talking about? The metal spiral, the little metal spiral would start to spin and it would push whatever it is, the bag of chips, the ding dong, whatever it is, start pushing it forward. And ultimately it would drop within my grasp. Just to drop a few brands, and for the record, this is not a paid advertisement. I'm not making any money off of these promotions. But back in the day, you know, it wasn't Coke or Pepsi. It was Orange Crush and Mellow Yellow. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or the candy machines. It was Blow Pops, Jolly Ranchers, or Hubba Bubba Bubble Gum. Anybody remember that? Maybe you can relate to that. And then with snacks back in the day, it was Zingers, Little Debbie Honey Buns, or Chili Cheese Fritos. It was good back in the day. Gotta love the vending machines until, and maybe this happened to you, but you put the money in and you'd push the button and the spinner would start to spin. It would push your prize forward and then it would get stuck. Who knows what I'm talking about? That's the worst thing ever. What would you do? It took your money. You were ripped off. You were cheated. And so what you would do is you would try to shake it. You might bang on it. You would ask for your money back because you got ripped off. The problem is many of us treat God like a vending machine, don't we? We put in not our 35 cents, but we put in our good behavior and our church attendance and our Bible reading and our tithes, and then we press the prayer button and we expect God to give us exactly what we ordered, because after all, we're serving God. So our loved one should be healed. And we go to church at least a couple of Sundays a month, so we should pass the test, whether we study or not. So we should get the job, even though we may not be the most prepared for the job. But we have to understand that God isn't a vending machine, and our faith isn't a contract. And we may not recognize it or not, but a lot of us, without knowing it, we believe in what we call a cause and effect faith. We tend to think that, hey, if I do my part, then God has to do his part. And without knowing it, that turns our faith in God into a transaction with God. And if God doesn't do what we want him to do, or give us what we want him to give us, or answer our prayer in the way that we want, we often feel frustrated. We might feel hurt, and maybe even betrayed by God. And so what I want to do today is I want to expose one of the most dangerous lies that keeps so many of us from real faith. because unfortunately, we fall victim to a false faith that we call transactional faith. What is transactional faith? We tend to believe that God owes us. If I do my part, then God has to do his part. And this is, unfortunately, a very seductive lie that distorts our understanding of faith. And I would suggest that this one lie may cause as many or more people to walk away from God, walk away from the church, as most lies that we see today. And so what I want to do is I want to show you from God's word that true faith is relational, not transactional. True faith is about knowing and loving God for who he is, not just for what he does. True faith in God is not transactional, it's relational. It's about knowing God and trusting him for who he is and not just what he does. So, we're in our message series called Christian-ish. If you haven't been with us in previous weeks, what does it mean to be Christian-ish? And we've been defining it. You know, a lot of people like this, and you may be like this. I've been like this. Someone who is Christian-ish is a person that often has a half-hearted faith in Jesus. And they wear the label Christian, like, obviously I'm a Christian, without actually and truly following Jesus. And those of us that slip into a Christian-ish mindset, we often embrace a false faith that we're going to call transactional faith. What does it mean to have a transactional faith? I'll give you a definition. Transactional faith is a distorted belief that turns our relationship with God into a contract, believing that if we do our part, God is obligated to do his part. If any of you find yourself thinking, God didn't do what he was supposed to do. I mean, I did my part. I prayed and I read the Bible and I did everything just right. And God didn't hold up his part of the deal. If you ever feel like that, you're not alone. It actually brings me comfort to know there were several people in the Bible that fell victim to that same sort of thinking. I'll show you five different examples from God's word. The first one we're going to see in Exodus 16:3, when the Israelites followed God, believing that he was going to bless them in a massive way. And they said, well, God, we trusted you. Why are we struggling so much? God, you didn't do what we thought you were going to do. We see the same thing with Jonah in Jonah 4. Jonah was like, God, I obeyed you, at least kind of, sort of, mostly, partly I obeyed you. And so, God, why are you blessing them? You should be blessing me, not those evil people. We see the same thing with Martha. Whenever her brother Lazarus died, she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. We've served you. My brother served you. Why did you let this happen? This isn't what you were supposed to allow. We see the same thing with the older brother in the story of the prodigal son. The younger brother said, hey, Dad, give me my share of the estate now. And he went out and he partied big time. Maybe some of you were at that same party that he was. And he came home, and the father's like, I'm so glad you're home. Now let's throw a big party for you at home, even though you squandered everything. And the older brother was, wait a minute. Wait a minute, father. That's not fair. I did everything. Where's my party? This isn't what I expected. I've been living faithfully in this house. Why are you blessing him and not blessing me? Then there was the rich young ruler who said to Jesus, I kept all the rules. I've done everything just right, Jesus. Why isn't that enough? We had a deal. I made an agreement with you. And you didn't live up to your part of the bargain. And I would suggest that most of us, we think that the more that we seek God and the more that we serve God and the more that we're faithful to God and the more that we obey Him, most of us, without really knowing it, we tend to expect a little preferential treatment. Like, there's all those other people. They're not serving you the way I am. So if I'm praying, God, you should answer my prayer. And it's really subtle. Because the problem is, it actually feels like faith. But it's really a dangerous lie because we start to believe that if we serve God faithfully, then he owes us. And the way it comes out a lot of times is it comes out like this. We think, okay, God, I've been doing a lot for you lately. I mean, I've been in the Word for a long time. I've been studying. And God, not only am I tithing, but I've given offerings. And I've been really faithfully praying and, you know, I've been sharing my faith and I've been keeping my eyes pure, God. I've been serving you and I know I'm not perfect, God, but I know that I'm really trying to honor you with all that I have and all that I am. And so, God, why didn't you answer my prayer? And we start making our kind of arguments with God. God, I raised my kids in church, and now why are they walking away from you? God, I've been tithing faithfully for years, and I'm still living paycheck to paycheck. God, I've been serving you. God, aren't you going to live up to the deal? And we have to understand that true faith is relational, not transactional. It's about knowing and loving God for who He is and not just what He does. True faith is relational, not transactional. It's about knowing and loving God for who He is, not just for what He does. Now, I want to pause and acknowledge that if you've been paying really careful attention in this message series, then you may say, okay, are you not contradicting yourself a little bit? Because in week 2, you talked about the covenantal nature of God. Do you remember that? We talked about a covenant. And every covenant, there is an unconditional promise from God, and there are conditional blessings. Remember that? There's the unconditional promise that God loves you no matter what, that He sent His Son, Jesus. And there are conditional blessings. So you may say, well, wait a minute. If God loves us, no matter what, and then we do the right thing and He blesses us, isn't that contractual? If we obey and God blesses our obedience, isn't that contractual and transactional? And I want to show you that it's not contractual, it's not transactional, it's actually covenantal and it's relational. And let me explain, because this is really important. A covenant is a divine agreement between God and us. And here's the deal. He initiates it. It's not our agreement. We don't make the deal. If I do this, God, then you have to, you know, help me pass this test. God initiates, and he is the one who initiates the covenant. And what is the difference between a covenant and a contract? Very, very important. I'll show you the difference. A contract is transactional, temporary, enforceable by law. A covenant, on the other hand, is different. It's not transactional, temporary, and enforceable. But a covenant is relational, eternal, and sustained by love. And there's a big difference. And when you think about it, a contract is based on kind of like we want to protect ourselves. It's almost based on mutual distrust. Like, I don't know you and you don't know me, so let's make a contract. So you have to do your part and I have to do my part. God loves us with a relational, covenantal love that is not temporary. It's unconditional. It's him sending his son to pay the price for, you know, the horrors of our sinfulness. And what's crazy about God is his covenantal relationship with us. It's not temporary. It's unconditional. Even if we don't live up to our end, God will live up to his end. Because Scripture says this: if we are faithless, if we don't do our part, even if we're faithless, God remains faithful because he cannot disown himself. That's how good our God is. It's not contractual, it's relational and covenantal. That's how good our God is. So, we should love God not just for what he does, but for who he is. It's never transactional. It's a love that is covenantal and relational. And I want to show you a very intimate glimpse into a relationship that David had with God. If you know, David was described as a man after God's own heart. I want you to look at the relational language of this powerful text in Psalm 63. When we look at it, here's what he's going to say. He's going to say, God, you are my God. And then what he's not going to say is, earnestly I seek your blessings, and earnestly I seek your miracles, and earnestly I seek your provision. He's not looking and seeking what God does. He's seeking God for who he is. And watch this, Psalm 63, he says, you, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you, God. My whole being longs for you because your love is better than life. God, my lips will glorify you. On my bed I remember you. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. That's intimate. That's way beyond friendship. I've got friends, and I promise you, I have never talked to them like that. And I never will. I never said, dude, like, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. You know, I've been thinking about you. I was thinking about your wings. I've never said that. And God is my witness, I never, ever will. But this relationship with God is not transactional. It's not contractual. It's relational. It's deeply intimate. So how do we know if we actually have a transactional faith in God? How do we know if we're putting our expectations on Him and maybe getting disappointed because He doesn't do what we want Him to do? How do we know if we have a transactional faith with God? And I want to show you three questions to ask. The first question is this. We're going to ask, do I follow God because of what He does for me or because of who He is? Do I follow Him because what He does, because I've seen a lot of people, when He doesn't do what they want Him to do, they say, God, I'm not following You anymore. Do I follow Him for who He is or for what He does? Second question. Do I still trust God when He doesn't answer my prayer the way I want? Or do I feel betrayed? Do I still worship Him and believe in His goodness when I've prayed and fasted and begged Him and thought He would, and He didn't? Or do I feel hurt and betrayed by God? Third question's this. Do I serve God because I love Him or because I'm hoping for something in return? And you may just kind of think about what your answers would be to these questions. Do I follow God because of what He does for me or because of who He is? Do I still trust God when He doesn't answer my prayer the way that I want Him to, or do I feel betrayed? Do I serve God because I love Him or because I'm hoping for something in return? Now, why am I preaching this serious Christian-ish? And the reason is because I need it. The reason is sometimes I am Christian-ish, even now. It's really easy for us preachers to say, yeah, back in the day, you know, when I was growing up, I was Christian. No. Listen to me. I'm that way now. On a good day, I love God very sincerely, genuinely. And I want His glory, I want His will, and I've got no strings attached. In a good moment, I'm that way. But I got a lot of moments that aren't good. In a weak moment, I just want God to do what I want Him to do. I want God to bless my kids. I want Him to make my life, honestly, I want it to be comfortable. And I want it to be easy. And here's what goes on in my mind. And I'm going to be honest. I hope you can handle the unfiltered version. Here's what I think. God, I do my best to serve You. I work really, really hard. God, I'm faithful. I do Your work. I do Your will. I preach as hard as I can. I'm faithful in Your word. And sometimes I feel like You let me down. If you find yourself in a similar place, let's be honest about it. God, why haven't You answered my prayer? God, why don't I have a better job? God, why haven't You fixed my marriage? Why is my life still so hard? I want to say it very, very clearly and very, very lovingly. If you're doing God's will just to get God's stuff, You're missing God's heart. I want to say it again. I want you to let it sink in. If you're doing God's will just to get his blessings, just to get his stuff, you're missing his heart. Our God is not a tool that we use. He's a king that we worship. And this is what Jesus said. He said it in Matthew 6:33. He said, "But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and then everything else will be given to you as well." You seek first the kingdom of God. You seek first God. You seek first God. You don't seek what he can do for you. You don't seek his blessings. You seek his face. You don't seek an answer to prayer. You seek his heart. You seek him first before anything else. Before you seek the approval of other people, you seek God. Before you seek the things of this world, you seek God. You seek God before you seek money. You seek God before you seek your own comfort. You seek God before you seek your own will. You seek God. Earnestly I long for you. My soul longs for you. I cry out to you, God. You are the objects of my affection. My lips will glorify you. God, I'm seeking you. Why? Because true faith is relational, not transactional. It's about loving God for who he is, not just for what he does.